that was very refreshing to hear that special music. The first number took my mind back to the funeral service of our brother Ed Allen's daughter and son-in-law back in Philadelphia some years ago, 10 years now I think it is. And the Abundant Life Choir sang that song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Christ." And it's a wonderful thing to realize that a lot of things are going to be looked upon in a different light when we see the Lord. It's good to know that. It's good to have that hope of seeing the Lord and knowing that things indeed would be worth it all. Happy to see our brother Gary White and his wife in our congregation this evening. Brother Gary, if some of you might remember, labored for a while in Cat Island after the Beverleys left. He took over from the Beverleys and labored there for a number of years. They moved to the States and they're back for a little bit of fire. I heard that they were somewhere in the Bahamas. We're glad to see them tonight. I'd like to read with you from Psalm number 46. Psalm number 46. And we shall read the entire psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I'm sure the Lord would bless to us the public reading of his precious word. I mentioned to you last Sunday evening that most of the Psalms, if not all of the Psalms, have a particular theme around which the psalmist builds his psalm, builds his song. Last Sunday evening we said that the theme of the psalm number 8 was the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And we mentioned to you that all that the psalmist talked about in relation to the greatness of our God and the greatness of creation was only to answer that question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Psalm number 46 also, we believe, has a theme, and the main emphasis of Psalm number 46 is verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The first part of that verse is really the theme of this psalm. And all that the psalmist is saying in Psalm number 46 is to get God's people to look away from the circumstances of life and know the Lord in them. Because God does not always deliver us from them. He sometimes delivers us in them, as we have in so many instances in the Word of God. Now as we look a little closer at our psalm this evening, the psalm in which God's interest is that we might know Him. We, as I mentioned, I think it was last Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken, that the first 12 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, we find over and over the expression that my people might know me, that they might know the Lord, because it is God's interest that we know Him. Mind you, He's writing to Christians, or He's writing to people who we believe are in that category of the people of God. And so His interest is that they might know Him. Now, of course, it is His desire that we should know Him in personal salvation. This is where it all begins. When we open our soul to Him and come to know Him in a personal way, life has no victory. Life has no meaning. Life has no eternal destiny, or rather, has no eternal hope, without knowing the Lord in personal salvation. And this is what the gospel is all about. Matter of fact, I think it's even safe to say this is what the whole story of the Bible is all about. From Genesis to Revelation, that man might know Him personally in salvation, and as the teachings of the Bible is that from that point they might go on knowing the Lord. The entire Bible then is occupied with this, I believe, this one general theme, the theme of the salvation of mankind, the deliverance of mankind. And so God's interest then is that we might know Him in personal salvation. I do not know, will you stand tonight? I believe I know some of you, and the fact that some of you are saved. But others of you, I'm not sure I know exactly where you stand tonight spiritually. But if you are not a Christian, let me say God's interest is that you be saved, that you come to the knowledge of the truth, and have your sins forgiven and your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, this is what Calvary is all about. So when we think of Calvary, we think of God giving up His only begotten Son, that He might bear in His body our sin, that He might receive from the hand of God our judgment. But in the process of the experience of suffering, that He might provide a great salvation. And the writer to the Hebrews says to us, as he talks about this great salvation, he says, how shall we escape? Escape what? First of all, how shall we escape the ravages of sin apart from so great salvation? How shall we escape the eternal wrath of God apart from this so great salvation? How shall we enter into a life of blessing and eternal bliss apart from this so great salvation? And so, beloved, this is what God wants you to enter into tonight. He wants you to know Him in personal salvation. But He also wants us to know Him in a peculiar relationship. Now you remember the words of Paul as he wrote to the to Titus. He says in chapter 2 of that book in verse 14 that He gave Himself that He might deliver us from, or redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, or a people for Himself, a people for Himself, zealous of good works. And so God's interest is not only that we might know Him in personal salvation, but that we might know Him in this peculiar way, in this special relationship, where we realize day by day that we belong to the Lord. We are His peculiar treasure. Like God thought of Israel. God thought of Israel as being the apple of His eye. Now that says to me, and I'm sure it says to you, and I'm a Bible student, that says to them that Israel was very, very special to God. And Psalm number 8, we mentioned that last Sunday evening, that really, we are special to God. And God wants us not only to know it theologically, but we might know it experientially, that day by day, we might realize that we are a peculiar people. And so He wants us to know Him in personal salvation, in peculiar relationship, and also in protection from danger. In protection from danger. No, I believe this is what the psalm brings out as it seeks to explain the exhortation for us to be still and know that He is the Lord, that He is God. Because He wants us to know Him in protection from danger. Also, to know Him in provision for sustenance. That we might realize that day by day, He takes care of us. He provides for us. He makes sure that all our needs are met. Sometimes He throws in a little of our wants too. I always remember when I think of this, of old Sister McKenzie, known to many of you, if not all of you. I went to see her one day, and she said to me, as we sat and talked, she said, "You know, Brother Tom, sometimes you feel a little funny talking to God about certain things because they seem to be so insignificant. But I got up one day and I had a strange desire for a piece of Scottish shortcake. I don't know, but I just got up and I had that longing in my soul, but you know, a longing desire. For a piece of a Scottish shortcake, but I felt a little embarrassed, you know, to talk to the Lord about it, because after all, I mean, you think the Lord would be concerned about a piece of Scottish shortcake?" And she said, "I didn't pray about it, but I had this longing for this shortcake." And 2 days later, there was a knock on the door. When I opened the door, there was a lady, and she handed me a package. And the package was a whole Scottish shortcake. And she said, "What happened? Brother Fell was coming to Key West to a conference. And someone said to Brother Fell, 'Would you be kind enough to take this shortcake to Sister McKenzie? I know she would like to taste some of this, have a piece of this.'" And he said, "I'll be glad to." So he brought her a Key West, gave it to somebody, and 2 days after she had this longing, a lady knocked to the door and gave her this Scottish shortcake. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God has promised and He will meet our needs. He has promised that. He has promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But I do believe He throws in something that we might want to satisfy our wants. Because the Bible says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He would do what? He would give us the desire of our hearts. And so then, God wants us to know Him in provision for our sustenance day by day. Also, in guidance. He wants us to know Him in guidance in ministry. Now, our interest also should be that we should know Him. This was Paul's interest. Paul, although he was a believer and a faithful servant of God,
And he could say that I've come, I am head and shoulders above many of my equals. And of course, when he talked about the service of the Lord, he could say, I labor more than they all. But here is Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, saying that I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And so the apostle Paul's interest was that he might know the Lord in that peculiar way, in that unique way, not just as Savior, knowing that we are going to go to heaven. I say to folk, heaven is a bonus. But some people feel that, listen, once they have come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, we have an expression that they are saved, satisfied, and stuck. But the Christian should never want to be stuck or satisfied with the way things are. There should always be in their souls a longing to be better, to know the Lord in a greater measure. And so, this was Paul's interest, and it should be ours. But be certain, the interest of the enemy is that we might not know the Lord, is that we might not get close to the Lord, that we might not know him in that special way. Now, as we look a little closer at our psalm, we know, first of all, the occasion of the psalm, or the suggested occasion of the psalm. Now, this psalm, Psalm 46, is one of three psalms you find in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, triad of Psalms. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. I believe I mentioned it last Sunday evening. I'm not quite certain. I'm going to mention it again tonight anyway. Billy, don't feel bad, because most of us, you know, when we want to say something and somehow it just goes. Like Brother Clipper says, our minds are something we forget with. In the Psalms, then, we note these triads. Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Cross. Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Crook. Psalm 24, the Psalm of the Crown. When we come to this Psalm, or the triad of Psalms here, Psalm 46, Psalm 47, and Psalm 48, Psalm 46 emphasizes the seat of Jehovah. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 47, the sovereignty of Jehovah. Verse 2 of Psalm 47, for the Lord Most High is awe-inspiring. He is a great king over all the earth. And as you read other verses in the psalm, this truth comes up. Psalm 48 emphasizes the security of Jerusalem. Verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verse 5, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain of a woman in travail. And as you read this psalm, Psalm 48, you know something of the divine security of Jerusalem. But when we come to Psalm number 46, it seems as though that Psalm 46 is occasioned by a series of events. It seems as though, first of all, that an earthquake was the background to this psalm. This is that indication. And because when you read the opening verses of the psalm, you note that the language tend to think of or suggest an upheaval of nature, an uncontrolled a situation in nature. There was an earthquake, as we have in Amos chapter 1 and verse 1 and Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 5. There was an earthquake during the reign of Uzziah the king. And during that time, there was great devastation. And so this might have been the occasion of the psalm. Also, it might also have been occasioned by a storm. Verse 3 of Psalm number 46. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and it seems as though there was a storm and a heavy tidal waves washing up against the shoreline, and especially those areas where the mountains, where the hills come almost sharply down to the sea. And so that seems to be an indication also of the occasion of the storm. Also, there seems to be that there was military confrontation. Verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. And it seems as though then, and of course Israel, had many experiences of military confrontation to such degree that they despaired of life. We perhaps, if time permits, shall note this as we progress in our message this evening. But we find then that this these suggested things might be the occasion of the psalm. But we note in this psalm the availability of Jehovah. The fact that he is in the midst and he is there to help us in every situation of life. No matter what they are. No matter how unnerving they might be. He is there to help us. And so it says, verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And so we note the availability of the Lord. And God wants us to understand this. He wants us to realize that he is ever available. He is always there to help us, regardless of what might be the situation or what time of day it might be. He is ever present. He never leaves us nor forsake us. Or if Christians can really get a hold of the truth, the circumstances of life will not have the kind of effect upon us as it seems to be having on a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are going to pieces because of what's happening around them or to them. But see, what we need to understand, that God is available, he is there, he is present, he's a very present help in trouble. And so the availability of Jehovah, he is there to protect the city, as in the context. Verse 4, I believe, brings that up. To make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He has promised to protect Jerusalem. When you come to 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 34, God says, as he said to Isaiah, to Hezekiah, who was at that time confronted with an enemy out to destroy them, God sent to Hezekiah, to Isaiah, your prayer has been heard, and I will protect the city. I will protect the city. And so he is available. He was available to them that he might protect the city. He's available to us to protect us. The angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. The Bible tells us God is available, and he is available to protect us in whatever situation we might find ourselves in. I remember a sister, she's gone to be with the Lord now, known to some of us here, old Sister Karoga. There were two sisters from Jamaica, Sister Karoga and Sister Shield. And Sister Karoga told me that on one occasion she went to visit an old sister by the Fort Hill, not very far from the police barracks. And not realizing that they had dogs, she opened the gate and she went in. And she turned around and locked the gate behind her. And all of a sudden, about a half a dozen dogs rushed to the front, and they were just about to pounce upon her. They were barking and growling at her. And she said, "Lord, help me." And suddenly they fled to the back of the yard. As quick as they came, they ran. He is a very present help, and he is available to protect us, just like he wants to protect the city. And also he's available, the availability of Jehovah, to preserve his place of worship. Verse 4. Again, to make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is available to protect or preserve his place of worship. And that's a blessing to Israel. And I'm sure they were glad to know that their worship, our worship place, was to be preserved. Now, of course, we could apply that to ourselves as well. God's interest is to preserve his worship amongst us. Now, we gather in a place, right, to worship. We come here. But remember, the Bible says he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. And so, when we apply that, we could apply that to his worship place, which is our body. You see, it says in Corinthians, in other places, number one, it says we are the habitation of God. The emphasis is dwelling, is fellowship. When we talk about home, when we talk about a house, when we talk about where we live, the emphasis is fellowship. We enjoy family, and habitation has to do with fellowship and communion. And so in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, when the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." Emphasis, fellowship. But it also says our body is the temple of God. Emphasis, worship. The temple of God. Emphasis, worship. Because the temple was a place for worship. And you and I must never forget that these bodies are the temple of God, and they are for the worship of God. And we can worship him in spirit and in truth wherever. God's people must realize that you not only worship in a church building. Yes, we can do it there. We not only worship at the breaking of bread service. Yes, we can worship there in our remembrance of him. But my friends, we can worship him. I hope you're worshiping him in this meeting. I hope so. You can worship him in the prayer meeting. You see, we ought to be worshiping him all the time. We are priests, the Bible tells us, and the emphasis of the priesthood of the believers is worship. Not preaching, but worship. And we worship him, and God protects. He's available to protect his place of worship. His place of worship, just like here, in a physical sense or in the natural sense, so it is in the spiritual in relation to our life. But also, the availability of Jehovah is to present himself among his people. Let's very quickly note here in the Psalm, verse 5 then. The Lord is in the midst of her. Look at verse 7, the first part of verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Look at verse 11, the first part of verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. He presents himself with his people. He presents himself with his people. And he is there, first of all, to guarantee his health. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is there to guarantee his health. And it says, "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." And so he says, because of the fact that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. We will not fear. Because he is a refuge and a present help in time of trouble. And so you and I, regardless of how things look, there is no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to be fearful because, listen, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so he presents himself among his people, which guarantees his help. Nahum 1 and verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. But not only is he with us to guarantee his help, but also which offers comfort of security. Comfort of security. Therefore, will we not fear? The latter part of verse 5. God shall help her, and that right early. You see, he is present with us to offer the comfort of security. We are secured in him, and this is to be a comfort to our hearts. We are not to fear. Fear is an awful thing. Fear is a terrible thing in the human life. You know, one of the things that you note in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, the exhortation not to fear, or the exhortation to trust. Because God knows when people are afraid, their whole spiritual life goes out of focus. Their spiritual equilibrium goes haywire when they are afraid. This is why we are to trust in the Lord. The psalmist says, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I understand also, I read a book titled None of These Diseases, and the Jewish doctor brings up the fact that fear affects our physical condition, our physical life. When a person is afraid and lives in fear, their blood pressure is affected, their blood is affected. Other organs of the body are affected when we live in fear. But my friend, when we realize that God is with us, he is present himself with us, and in this he comforts us with the comfort of security, then we need not fear, and we need not allow our bodies to become affected by fear. I understand certain secretions are experienced in the body when we are overwrought with fear, and certain amount of adrenaline, as you know, when you are afraid, if you know, like the guy who fell into a hole, he was going drunk, he was walking the graveyard, and he fell into an open grave, and he tried to get out, and he just couldn't get out, as he tried to get out, he fell back, and he said, well, I might as well just stay in here until the morning. And so he sort of laid back, and when he laid back, someone in the hole said, yeah, you might as well forget it. And when he said that, the man was out. All the time he was trying to get out. Well, you see, that adrenaline, when fear hits you, there is extra strength in things you do you won't normally do. And by the same token, there are other secretions from the body because of fear that affects the body. This is why God says to us, be not afraid. I am thy God. Don't let fear grip your heart. And John says, perfect love. We noted this morning, whom having not seen, ye love. And I thought of it this morning as I went back to my seat and sat and thought of the words of John when he said, perfect love casteth out fear. You see, we love the Lord, but when we love Him perfectly, we know Him in such a way, we realize His presence and we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. I'm going to stop. I'm not finished. But we'll continue another night. But remember, God's interest is that we might know Him. His interest is that we might know Him in every circumstance. And so here in the psalm, he's talking about what He has done, what He is and can be, that we might know Him. We're going to note, and perhaps you will look up that verse, verse 10 in another translation in preparation for next Sunday's meditation. And you will see exactly what the emphasis, what he is saying when he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Yes, do you know Him tonight? Do you know Him in personal salvation? Are you saved from your sin? Are you saved from eternal condemnation? Are you saved tonight? Do you know Him in this unique way that assures you the consciousness of His presence day by day? Do you know Him in that way? I trust. Well, that's